up on Encouragement Live, have you done any planning or goal setting for the new year? Christian life coach John Redd joins me, and we'll be talking about vision, mission, goals, and other objectives on a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live. And that means we're not taking phone calls on this edition, but nonetheless, I'm glad to have my good friend John Redd with me. He is a Christian life coach, founder of Renewal Ministries. We'll be talking about that. John, great to have you in for this final program of 2024.
Hey, Don, it's great to see you. Great to be here today.
Always a joy. And we're going to talk about some specifics in terms of planning and setting goals and mission and vision and all of those kinds of things. And you made the recommendation that we start with the beginning and the end in mind. Explain
right.
that, if you will.
Right. Well, I think you have to have the big picture, you know, Don, to make a statement about what I'm going to do. Yeah. You have to understand what the end result is, but you also have to know kind of where you're starting out.
And that involves a couple of things, mission and vision.
Right.
And which one of those you want to begin with?
Oh, goodness. I want to start with vision.
Okay.
I just like, first of all, I like the word vision. I think it's just this, it's more exciting. It has this bigger level. It's a higher level thing.
Yeah.
And I
really
like
mission
that.
Sounds a little bit like, okay, this is my obligation.
Yeah.
Vision sounds like this is my opportunity.
That's a great way to put it. Absolutely.
Okay. That just came to me.
That's so good.
We'll talk about that. All right. There is a proverb that says, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Right.
You might want to comment on the biblical foundation for vision.
Yeah, I think that's a great statement, a great proverb, because I think a lot of times we do just jump into things with trying to make decisions and setting goals, and we don't really have a vision in mind or understand what our personal life vision is, Don.
Okay. And how would you express your personal life vision, John?
I love that. You know, the Lord has really given me a great big picture vision, and that is to serve the servants.
Yeah.
That's the tagline of our ministry, but that really is the highest level vision is for us in our ministry to serve the servants.
And that's really what you do in both aspects of your areas of responsibility with Renewal Ministries and also with Hope Speaks Clinic.
Right.
And let's talk about how that plays out in both of those areas.
You know, if you think about serving servants, it's anyone who is really serving others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so as a life coach, as a minister, as a family man, I serve my family.
Yeah.
They're servants of the Lord as well. So everything that I do should be underneath that vision of serving the servants.
You know, it's interesting. Yours is very similar to mine. And mine came to me while I was sitting on a mountaintop in Colorado many years ago. And I was thinking about both mission and vision at the time. And the vision I had was of two mountain peaks, sort of twin peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And as I thought about it, I thought about the passage. It says, we're to love God with all our heart.
Yes.
And soul and mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that came my vision, is to love God with all my heart and love people as myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in reality, I believe if we fulfill that that vision,
mm-hmm.
We'll accomplish some great things for God.
Absolutely.
We are not taking phone calls tonight, but if you'd like to learn more about Renewal Ministries, RENEWELL.org, and the Hope Speaks Clinic offers hope and help to people going through challenges, hopespeaks.com, and we'll be right back.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, teach truth, love well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
Are you looking for family-friendly television or biblical studies with informative programming? Let me introduce you to CrossFlix. From children's cartoons to in-depth studies to inspiring music, CrossFlix is an ever-growing community of broadcasting developed for the family, now available for Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, Apple iOS, and Chromecast. Search through our on-demand library with a free trial. CrossFlix. Entertain. Educate. Inspire.
This is a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Well, Christian life coach John Redd is with me. We're not taking phone calls, but we want to encourage you to just settle back wherever you are. If you're driving, be careful. If you're headed out for the New Year's in preparation or maybe heading home from Christmas holidays, just delighted to have you with us. And I trust, John, as you look ahead to the new year, there's some very exciting things. We've talked about vision, and out of vision, you've developed the concept of personal mission.
Absolutely. We each need to have a personal mission, but how we achieve or understand what our personal mission is really starts from a very, very great beginning. It's understanding who we are in Christ.
Oh, now that's a great place to go. And a lot of people don't even think about who we are in Christ. But to me, that's the real foundation of being able to accomplish anything for the Lord, because we don't understand who we are in Him. We're probably operating in the flesh and not in the Spirit.
Exactly. And as we set goals or do objectives or even set our mission statement, if it's not based on that, it's going to be based on something else from the world, most likely.
Yeah, and the world will give you a lot of things about goal setting. I mean, think of the many books that have been written on the subject and all of that. We're here to give you a biblical perspective on the issue. Let's talk about who we are in Christ. Amazing, I think, about the book of Ephesians whenever I think of that subject. Walk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, you know, as the Lord talks about who we are, we become a new creation in Christ, right?
Yeah, right.
And that new creation is not of the world. And so if we understand who we are in Christ, like it says in Ephesians, then we are seated at a place of higher thinking. We're seated at from a place of righteousness and not shame. And so everything that we develop from a mission or a vision comes from that place of new life, not the old dead life.
You know, as I think about being a new creation in Christ, I think about the Greek word poema, which is found in Ephesians 2:10. And this is part of a book I'm working on right now, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. But it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we walk in them. And that's in the passage where it talks about we were sinners, we were without hope, but God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love, came to us and loved us. And by grace, we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then He says, we are His workmanship, His poema. And I did some research on that word, John. And it's amazing. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, it was used of the two words, the Hebrew words that were used of God's creative work in creating the universe. And in the New Testament, it was used that way in Romans chapter 1. They didn't like to acknowledge the Creator, the things that God had created. And it's also used of those of us who are part of God's forever family in Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 2, verse 10. So great concepts to think about. We've been part of God's family. We are new creation in Christ. Not taking phone calls, but talking about our mission, our vision, our goals, our objectives. We're going to talk more about who we are in Christ when we come back. Stay right with us on Encouragement Live. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare, because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We are back on a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live. We are not taking phone calls because this program is pre-recorded. I'm Don Hawkins. With me in studio is Christian life coach John Redd, who's also, I believe, a hospital chaplain. John, is that correct?
I have chaplain work with the Marketplace Chaplains. So we
Marketplace
go to,
Chaplains, yeah. Great organization. I've read about them, heard about them, and great ministry. And you also work with Renewal Ministries. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Well, for earlier in the program, we talked about serving the servants, and that's exactly what we do with Renewal Ministries. Our mission statement is for every pastor worldwide to run and finish the race well. And so we come alongside them as an encourager, as a help, as a resource, wherever they're at, to help them just make it well through their entire calling they have from the Lord.
You know, it's interesting. Your ministry has expanded internationally as well, a number of different countries.
Right.
I had the privilege last month of spending some time in India and ministering to some 2,000 Christian workers in a leadership conference and sharing some things to encourage them to run the race and not give up. But there are a lot of people in ministry going through hard times who feel like giving up. How can they reach out to Renewal Ministries?
We'd love to just reach or have them contact us at renewalministries.org. That's our website. You can reach us there. Our email is there. Our phone contacts are there. And my wife, Lisa, and I would love to just hear from you guys and see how we can walk alongside you in this journey called life.
Boy, that's a great concept. Renewalministries.org.
Yes, sir.
All right. We want you to reach out to that ministry and be sure and include the word ministries. Renewalministries.org. Now, we're talking about who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. We've talked about we're a new creation, but there's even more to who we are in Christ in Scripture.
Oh, absolutely. There's, if we start reading the whole New Testament about how Paul talks about all the ways that we are new creations.
Yeah.
We are found new. We are the righteousness of Christ. And, you know, Don, as we kind of left off before the break, knowing who we are and knowing who God has created us to be really sets us up for success as we begin to set vision, mission, objectives, and goals.
Yeah. And to me, that's so critical that we understand that everything comes back to our connection with Christ.
Absolutely.
I was looking at Isaiah 41:10 this morning. What a great verse that is. And that's where God says, stop being afraid. Mm-hmm. I am your God. I'm with you. I'm helping you. I'm upholding you with my righteous right hand. He said that to Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a great application to us today, that to know that the God of the universe, the God who created us, and again, that goes back to Psalm 139 that talks about how we were formed, and that Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, his poem, you know, and people write poetry, and it's pretty amazing when they do. Mm-hmm. But that he's created us so that we can bring glory to him. Right. But he walks with us. He doesn't just create us and put us off on a shelf somewhere, but he's right in there involved in our lives.
Absolutely. He wants to work through us. And that's one of the great things, is we understand our identity and what he wants. You mentioned how we are his workmanship, created for good works. Mm-hmm. So as we do the things, we have goals, personal goals, professional goals. We have that understanding that God is for us. And so you also mentioned about fear.
Yeah.
We don't have to fear as we begin to set these things up, that we know in our hearts that we are established in him to do those good works.
Yeah, so incredible that we keep that in mind, that we need not be afraid of circumstances. We may not need not be afraid that God will not supply our needs. Mm-hmm. We need not be afraid that God will just push us off on the side, but he is right there with us, empowering us, strengthening us, encouraging us. Again, we're not taking phone calls, but we're so glad that you've joined us. Now, I want to talk about personal mission before we get into the specifics of goals and objectives. And we'll do that. Talk about how you came to craft a life mission and how you're working with people to do that.
Right. You know, well, the first thing, Don, you and I would just go, this is almost like a duh, is pray.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to share with us the mission in life that he has created us for. Those good works you mentioned.
Yeah.
He wants us to understand what that is. And so that's exactly what I did. I mean, I just began to pray, Lord, I know you have something for my life. You have something more than what I am right now, and there's a purpose for it. And we prayed over time before we established, the Lord established the ministry, but he gave it to us.
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful things about it. We sometimes take for granted doing things without praying, but somebody has said there's nothing you can do beyond praying until you have first prayed.
Right.
And that's a great place to start. And I did the same thing. And again, as I thought about the vision that God had given me, of wholehearted love for God and unconditional love for people, and then the ultimate objective in life, to glorify God, that God wanted me to glorify him, I began to think, okay, now if God has a mission for me, he probably has gifted me for that mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to think in terms of what gifts has he given me.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, encouragement has been a gift that people have identified for me and with me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons we call this program Encouragement Live.
Right.
People say, why don't you call it the Don Hawkins Show? I said, because it's not the Don Hawkins. It's the Encouragement Show. It's a program designed to bring encouragement to people. And I feel like that's a major part of my life mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes certain elements. And as I thought about this, and then I developed this into a college course that I taught back at Southeastern. And you look at not only your giftedness, your primary gift, and maybe other gifts, but how can you use those gifts and that primary gift? And in my case, teaching and preaching. Obviously, part of that. I've been a pastor for many years and have taught at the Bible college level and occasionally in seminary. And then also using Christian radio, which is the tool you and I are using right now. And also had the privilege of writing and the privilege of having written maybe about 25 books. And God opened the door for that. And again, God opens doors when we are aware of our giftedness and how we may use that. And when those opportunities come along, we seize the moment. And speaking in conferences and that kind of thing, like the one I mentioned in India. And I know for you, there have been a lot of ways that you've been using your giftedness in terms of a mission statement as well.
Yeah, much like you, over years, people kept saying, you know, you just, John, you really encourage me. You lifted me up. And Don, as you and I are talking, and we're talking about encouragement, you and I both, our body language is changing.
Sure.
It's who we are. It's who God's created us to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that sweet spot. That as we ask the Lord what it is, what is that mission statement? What is the vision you have for me to walk out the rest of my life or even just this new season of my life? And the Lord plants that in us. There's an excitement that comes upon us because we know we're walking in the way he wants us to. We're going in the direction he wants us to do. And then all the things that we begin to develop, these goals, objectives, should flow from that.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And we have to start, as you say, at the beginning, and we start with the end in view. Mm-hmm. And so we start with vision, we look at mission, and then we're going to plug into some goals and objectives and talk about those kinds of things. Somebody said a goal without a plan is just a dream. You've heard that statement before. Yeah. You want to amplify on that?
You know, it's like you're going to just say, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no way, there's no plans, there's no method to it. Most likely you're not going to be very successful. It truly is kind of a pipe dream.
Yeah, and that ties into something that a lot of people do around this time of the year, resolutions.
Yes.
Yeah, and what's the rule on New Year's resolutions? By the middle of January,
they're done.
They're toast. Put them in the oven.
Right, right.
And, you know, we have good intentions, but a lot of that comes down to is just a dream. Mm-hmm. Or somebody has once said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit the target every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a lot to be said. Let's talk about what is the difference in a goal and an objective?
Mm. You know, and there's books written on the differences. Same thing with mission and vision. But, you know, really the goal is what you're wanting to do. The objectives are how you are going to accomplish it. They're the specifics about it. That's sort of the simple answer.
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it. What do you want to do, and then how do you go about getting it done?
Right.
And so we're going to look at that. Somebody said, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. And as a life coach, I suspect one of your roles is to assist your clients in crafting a plan to move forward toward established goals. You do that through the Hope Speaks Clinic.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the specifics of what you're doing and how the clinic and what you and others are doing there provide that kind of help.
Yeah, you know, Hope Speaks is just this amazing group of people. Dr. Tom Shove leading it. It's this truly, Don, it's a team approach. You know, I sort of feel like I'm in there. And a quiver of one of the arrows in the quiver, but we do this through obviously the doctor, the psychological, the psychiatric part, the therapy part, but also the life coaching part. I mean, there's every piece of this has an aspect to benefit the clients.
Yeah, and that's a tremendous thing. And maybe, friend, you're at a place where you need some help in figuring out that life mission and that vision and the goals, the objectives, the steps you need to take. A life coach comes alongside you to help with that process, which is really built on that biblical concept that you and I talked about a minute ago, encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming alongside to help that person. Right. That was the original. And I'd have to say Barnabas was a great example of that, the New Testament, maybe the first life coach to come along in the early church.
Probably.
and he probably coached the Apostle Paul, because remember, at one time, he went out and brought Paul into the ministry in Antioch, and they worked together for about a year. And as I recall, that was the place where the disciples were first called Christians, was at that place. But what a marvelous thing. And friend, if some of you maybe would like to reach out to the Hope Speaks Clinic, there's a great way to do so. You can go to the website hopespeaks.com. Again, that's hopespeaks.com. clinic.com. Mm-hmm. John, I believe you also do some online coaching and counseling through the clinic, right?
I do, yeah. We have the opportunity, if people can't make it in the clinic, we can do Zoom meetings or go-to meetings and meet with people at their convenience.
So that's a good thing to keep in mind, and this might be a good time to reach out during this upcoming week to reach out to the Hope Speaks Clinic at hopespeaks.com. We're pre-recorded, and we'll be right back after this.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And I'm here to remind you that this program is pre-recorded, so we are not taking phone calls on that number that Steve just gave you. But we are talking with Christian life coach John Redd. We're talking about mission, vision, goals, and objectives as we move into 2025. And John, I suspect that you've probably already been doing some thinking about personal goals and objectives for the new year. When I think about people who execute vision and goals and objectives, the person probably comes to mind first is Nehemiah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk about Nehemiah and what his mission was and how he translated that into specific actions.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would encourage all of our listeners to do this. Go read Nehemiah 2.
Yeah.
Look at the process and what Nehemiah did to accomplish a task that was really daunting, but he did accomplish it.
Yeah.
You know, he was literally created to rebuild. The Lord had called him to do this, and he knew it. He had prayed about it. The thing that you read about, you'll see quickly, is Nehemiah had a passion for the purpose. And as we were talking a while ago, Don and I have a passion for our encouragement
purpose we have. Amen.
And it's so you can read it that he had a passion for it. He prayed. Yeah. And he prayed continually.
And you know, the thing about his praying, as you say, he prayed continually. Mm-hmm.
But you remember when the king, he was the cupbearer to the king.
Right.
And the king says, you've not been sad in my presence before, which could very well have cost him not just his job, but his life.
Right.
And when he said, why are you feeling this way? It said he prayed to the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was just an instant, a moment there where he said, God, I need your help.
Right.
So there's that extended prayer, but there's that momentary prayer when you're facing that crisis. Both of those play a part, right?
Absolutely. And through the process of doing the rebuild, we know he had to continually be in prayer for those, you know, the long term, but also for the small details that were being taken care of. You know, he prayed to God for guidance, for a plan, for how to execute the plan, for favor with those people that he was going to come in contact with.
Yeah. And I think about how he had a opposition, you know, Sanballat, Tobiah, and some other characters that came along, and they were very opposed to what he was doing.
Right.
And I love the statement that he made, you people have no part with us. We are serving the God of heaven. He's going to prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Mm-hmm. And it was in the next chapter that I believe 25, 27, 28 times it said, next to him built. So he mobilized a lot of people. He used that gift. I think he had the gift of encouragement, too.
Probably so.
Because he motivated those people to get out there and work. And my suspicion is they hadn't done much before he got there, because when he went out to investigate in chapter 2, read that chapter, as John told you, I mean, you know, he found the city in ruins. He could barely get around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things it says, he wept. He saw it and he cried, because, and it was the passion he had to do the rebuild. And again, for his purpose, he had the passion for his purpose.
Yeah, and having that passion, we have a purpose, a mission. Maybe God's given you a passion for evangelism. I have a good friend, my friend Sam, over in India. It's a passion for evangelism and has such a heart for that. I have a friend, Larry, here in the States, was a seminary classmate of mine, a passion for evangelism. And we all have a responsibility to evangelize. We all have a responsibility to encourage. But some of us have different gifts. Some people have a passion for teaching, and I mean, and they're gifted in those areas. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, one of the things that Nehemiah did was he did some planning before he just jumped in and started the building project, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he knew what he needed to do, but and those were his goals, but he had some specific objectives to get taken care of in order to do it.
Yeah. And we want to, you know, just talk a little bit about that. First of all, he found out from his brother how bad things were in chapter one. Then when the king confronted him over his depression, his sadness in chapter two, he told the king about the conditions and he asked for permission to go back. And I love the fact that he didn't say, I'm going back to Jerusalem, because the word Jerusalem was kind of offensive to Artaxerxes back in those days. But he said, I want to go back to rebuild the city of my fathers. He was not in your face about what he wanted to do. And sometimes in terms of our having objectives and goals, we might become so bold that we blow some people away or maybe hinder things. So there's a statement that Jesus made in Luke chapter 14 that plays into this. And I think Nehemiah probably considered this, even though it wasn't written by the time he came along. Share those verses, if you will. Luke 14, 28 through 30.
Yeah, it says, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
So what do we draw out of that in terms of our own goal setting and putting those objectives into place? Does counting the cost or the financial and personal investment enter the picture?
Absolutely. I think if we don't take all those things into play, then we will set goals that are probably not achievable. They're not realistic.
Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah, and essentially, what this passage says is, you'll be humiliated. Mm-hmm. People will mock you as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all heard of things that happened that started and never were finished, mm-hmm. never were completed, and that goes back to some of those New Year's resolutions that we talked about.
Right.
I was going to lose 20 pounds, and I didn't even lose 5, and then mm-hmm. I regained another 5 on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, you know, there's some specifics, and we want to wade into some of that planning purpose. Somebody said a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Mm.
And there's some Proverbs that tie into this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6,
mm-hmm.
Two of my favorite verses in the whole book.
Oh, absolutely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Mm.
Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And here's the cool part. And he'll make your pathway straight.
Yeah, he'll direct your path. He'll show you where to go.
Show you where to go.
Yeah, so important. Mm. And Proverbs 15:22. This is a great verse for life coaches. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors.
Yes.
We could paraphrase, with many life coaches and counselors,
right.
They will succeed. And we all need counsel. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine earlier this morning, and he was telling me, I was telling him about you, and we were going to record this program, and he said, you know, I had a life coach. He was in a different city from me, but I got a lot of benefit out of our Zoom conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you might want to schedule a Zoom conference with John or with one of the Christian life mm-hmm. coaches at Hope Speaks. Let me give you a toll-free number. It's not a toll-free number, but it's a phone number, 972-669-1733. And you can call that number, and the fine and kind and friendly staff at Hope Seeks Clinic can set you up a Zoom conference with John, or you might even meet with him in person. I think you're still in the office occasionally.
Every once in a while.
But the Zoom conference works out well. Or you can go to hopespeaks.com. That's hopespeaks.com. And again, it's a biblical thing. And of course, praying about this is so important, mm-hmm. John. Proverbs 16:3 talks about mm-hmm. that.
Absolutely. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that?
Mm. Yeah, we can ask God, Lord, I'm committing this
yes.
to you. Lord, I'm not trying to take the initiative. I'm not trying to take the reins. I'm committing this to you. Mm-hmm. I'm allowing you to direct me in the process,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We may have a plan in our heart,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately the sovereignty of God is the most important factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, all these scriptures are pointing to a couple things. Trusting the Lord.
Mm.
Seeking the Lord,
yeah.
Listening to the Lord, and then doing the work.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do. We want to seek God first. We want to pray first, and that would be the place for you to start.
Absolutely.
And then someone has said, a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Mm.
So we begin to move as we set goal processing. We go from purpose to knowing to fulfilling the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several things to consider in this, John. Who we are, where we are, where do we want to go, how do we want to get there, and how will we know when we arrive?
You know, that last one is sometimes what we forget to put into the goals and objectives.
Yeah.
Is how do we measure? How do we see success? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we just keep going and going without an end point.
Yeah, we've got to include that in the picture.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we treat goals and objectives as the same thing,
right.
But it's helpful, as you pointed out, to understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in fulfilling what we want to accomplish,
absolutely.
That is. So remind us again, because
right.
you remember the three laws of learning. Law number one, repetition.
Right.
Law number two, repetition. I don't have to repeat law number
right.
three. So what's the difference between a goal and an objective?
The goal is the what. It's
yeah.
it's the what. And the objectives are the how.
Mm.
How we're going to get to the goal.
Yeah. Somebody said goals provide direction,
mm-hmm.
priority, and motivation.
Right.
Those things. And then objectives are the strategies, the actions, or the steps that lead to the completion of the goals, the what. They define those activities that need to be completed. Mm-hmm. They give us feedback. Are we on the right track? Mm-hmm. Are we 3 degrees off course? Or, you know, that right. kind of clarity. You know, somebody, there's a statement Jesus made, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for the battle?
Mm.
So clarity is important. And then measurement. How right. do we measure those goals?
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody observed that goals usually stretch over a longer time frame than objectives.
Right.
Their objectives are more bite-sized chunks right. out of the goal to keep in mind. And we'll talk about those things when we come back. In fact, just to recap, a goal is an expected or desired outcome. An objective is a measurable action taken to achieve a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Back with more of this with Christian Life Coach John Redd on this pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live.
We are at a time when our society is falling apart and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries. And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary. And you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
We're back for the final segment of this pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Christian Life Coach John Redd is with me. And we are winding down the year 2024. John, as you look back on 2024, what are your thoughts about it? And as you look ahead to 2025, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I think 2024 started out with a lot of questions, a lot of what's going to look like. And I have the sense that 2025 is maybe going to be a little bit more stable, just by things that are going on in the world and how we are sensing the move of the Lord.
I think God is at work in a lot of ways, and I'm encouraged to see that. And again, like you say, there were some really challenging things that happened in 2024, and I believe that we have maybe turned a page in certain areas in certain ways, and mm-hmm. that's an encouraging thing. I think for the cause of Christ, even,
yes,
some
absolutely.
Things are going to be better in terms of spreading the gospel and that sort of thing. Now, the Apostle Paul provided some good perspective on looking back and looking ahead mm-hmm. in the third chapter of his book of Philippians.
Yes, absolutely. Let me read this to you guys. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus."
Boy, That verse or those verses are just packed, really. And they start with the place that you started. Mm-hmm. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. It comes right back to who we are in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the key point. It starts right there. And then secondly, it's not about us.
I love what he says, brothers, I don't consider I've made it on my own.
Anybody could have, Paul could have. In fact, the first part of the third chapter of Philippians, he gave his whole pedigree, mm-hmm. and he said, it's like the garbage that you take out, the rubbage, the right. stuff you flush down the commode. It just, you know, it's nothing, absolutely, mm-hmm. because I want to make it. I'm forgetting. Now, talk about forgetting what lies behind, because there's some things we probably shouldn't forget. There are some things we should.
There are some things that are important to remember. There's life lessons that we have. But, you know, one of the things in life coaching that I often tell my clients that are sort of looking backwards always, not moving forward. And I said, you know, how would you drive your car looking in the rearview mirror?
Yeah.
How far would you go? How safe would you go?
Yeah. Our friend Rodney Love loves to use the illustration, use the word love as a noun, the word love as a verb, of the stagecoach. We're in the state of Texas recording this program, and the early years of this past century, they had stagecoaches running around here. None of them had a reverse gear. You could not way have the horses back up and push a stagecoach in reverse. I just don't think it would work at all.
That's good.
So the bottom line is, with life coaching, you're moving forward. The coach moves forward. So we're straining, and like Paul says, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. And that's a picture of a racer, somebody who's running a race, and they're about to hit the tape, and they want to get there before the other racers, and they're reaching out. And he says, I'm pressing toward the goal. There's effort involved in this, right, John?
There's discipline, absolutely. It's easy, like we said, to set goals, set objectives, do those things. The discipline comes in to actually execute those things.
Yeah. Now, good objectives should be smart objectives. At least I've read that, and I believe it's correct.
Yeah, there's a few books written on that.
There have been several books written on that subject. And so we are using this smart system, and we tie this into Scripture, which says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Everything guarded by Scripture, Psalm 119, 105. But good objectives start with an S, should be specific. Right. Talk a little about that.
Yeah. You know, if you don't have a specific objective in mind, a very nebulous one, there's no target. It has to be specific. You know, they need to be specific so you don't just wander around. They need to provide enough information so you understand when and if you're making progress.
In fact, you set a goal to get healthier. What does that mean? Does it mean you're going to lose weight or be able to run a mile or half a mile or building muscle strength?
Right.
You know, we need to have specifics to be able to determine how to tackle those goals and even how to track your progress. So the first S in SMART is specific. By the way, some of you may want to jot these down. Now, if you're driving, don't jot these down. Just get the recording. Do it that way.
Right. But like you said, Don, a specific goal would be, I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of February.
Ooh, now that is a specific goal. And it's also a measurable goal, which is the M in SMART.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, if you don't have a way to measure, in other words, a scale, if you're going to lose weight, there's not a way to measure it. How do you know that you've achieved the goal? You know, good objectives are always measurable. And it usually has some kind of a number involved with it. If you're trying, like I said, if you're trying to lose weight, there's a number. You're trying to run. You're trying to achieve a financial goal. There's specific measurable numbers to them.
And speaking of financial goals, probably to have a goal of spending less than what you're taking in would be a very good goal. We certainly would like to see our federal government move in that direction, would we not?
Yes, sir.
After $35, $36 trillion worth of indebtedness. And there are some people working in that direction. Measurable goals, specific, measurable. The third thing, and this is where we get into reality, is attainable.
Yeah, we can make that measurable goal I want to lose 100 pounds by February. Probably not attainable. And that's going to set you up for failure. And you want to set a goal that is, going back to, it's achievable. It's attainable.
Yeah. That's where those verses in Luke 14 come into play. Mm. Jesus' statement about, if you're going to build a tower, you better sit down and estimate the cost to see how much it's going to take to complete it. I can remember I was pastoring a church in Lake Charles, and we were getting ready to build a building. What had happened is we kept outgrowing our building, and then we would kind of shrink back down a little bit and then outgrow. And then God opened a door for us to trade our 1 acre and a third of property for 6 acres behind where a man was developing a shopping center. And we needed to sit down and figure out, okay, what is an attainable goal for us? And we were able to do that. We were able to complete the project to a great degree with volunteer labor. And we finished under budget and on time. And it was just one of those amazing things to see the hand of God, and with a lot of effort on the part of church people. I actually had two crews of volunteers working, a day crew of people that had been laid off from some of the plants that were located in the Lake Charles area, and an evening crew of people that were still working, and they'd come out and work several hours after they got off from their paid jobs. And it was just amazing how God put that all together. But again, an attainable goal.
Yes.
And that brings us to a fourth important principle here. The SMART, S-M-A-R,
right,
is relevant.
Right.
Help us understand how that works.
We have talked about what our purpose is, what our vision is, and so our goals should be relevant to what our purpose is. They should line up with our who we are and what God's called us to do.
Yeah. So in other words, if my goal is to double my income in 2025, that's probably not related to my gift of encouragement.
Might not be.
And might not be related to the mission and vision and purpose I've had.
Right.
That's why I don't have that as a goal. I suspect you don't either.
I don't have that one either.
No.
Yeah.
So, but it needs to be relevant to our purpose. It needs to connect there. And that brings us to the fifth and final statement that we want to make about SMART objectives.
Right.
They're specific, they're attainable, they're relevant, they're measurable, they're relevant, and are they specific, measurable, attainable, relevant? I should get the spelling right. And then the final one, they're time-based.
Right. Right.
What does that mean?
Everything requires an end point. We have to have a set time or an established time in order for us to see that that goal has been attained. We can lead, we can go, we can do these things, and we can keep going on and on and on. But if we don't set a time ending date on it, then we never will truly accomplish what we're trying to do.
Yeah, good way to look at it. So the plans of the diligent lead to abundance, according to Proverbs 21:5, but those who are hasty come only to poverty. Does that have a connection with what we've been talking about?
Absolutely. I think there's a diligence. And all of these really fit together biblically, Don. I mean, they truly do. They're all about how we are created for a purpose.
Yeah. And I love looking at Jeremiah 29:11 in that connection. I know a lot of people say, well, that verse was given to Israel. And yes, God did assure the prophet and the nation Israel that his ultimate purpose for them was to be successful. But by the same token, John, I believe God can use the planning process involving life coaching, involving counseling, to give direction to fulfill those ultimate goals. And as a Christian life coach, I think you would embrace that concept as well.
Absolutely. You know, and we have heard this, which exactly what you just said, that was written to the Israelites. But I think about God and how he loves us.
Yeah.
And what he wants for our lives. And as I read Jeremiah 29:11, and by the way, it's on the cover of my Bible.
Okay.
So I do take it personally.
You take it, it personally.
I do believe he has good plans for us.
Yeah.
And I believe he wants those things to be good for us.
Yeah. I love the specific statement. Let me just share that verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He said that to Israel. By application, he's saying that to you and me and John and all of us. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and to hope. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not promising that everything that happens to us will be good.
Right.
But I think of Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. John Redd, thank you so much for sharing this final program in 2024 with me and talking about such a practical subject.
Mm-hmm, Don, thank you so much for having me again.
Always a joy. And friend, thank you for being a part of our Encouragement Live family with this pre-recorded program. If you'd like to learn more about John's ministry, go to renewalministries.org. Or to learn more about the counseling and coaching ministry of Hope Speaks, go to hopespeaks.com. Happy New Year from Encouragement.